Good morning. It's Tuesday, December 13th, and we're about to December 30th. You'd think I might remember this. It's an important day of the year, December 30th. Anyhow, this is a very important story that you should listen very closely to. Most drugs only work for about half the people who take them. Why is that? That's because our individual genes dictate how well they will work or will not work. However, there might be a way around this biological problem. It's called personalized medicine. And here to tell us more about it is Andrew Pollack. He's a reporter with the New York Times. He is based at the Los Angeles Bureau, and he comes to us from Santa Monica. And he has a front page story today in the New York Times. Good morning, Andrew.
Yes, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Very early morning to you. So what is personalized medicine?
Well, personalized medicine is, it's probably a bit of a misnomer since all medicine is personalized to some extent. I mean, your doctor tries to tell what disease you have and treat it accordingly. But this would go another step and try to use mainly genetic testing to figure out which drug would be best for which patient, which would have the greatest effectiveness, and which drugs should be avoided by particular patients because they would have a higher risk of side effects.
And you talk about the example of tamoxifen, which does two things. One, it shows what kind of difference it could make if you are given the drug that your body is most likely to respond to. And two, all of the obstacles that exist in the medical system today to moving forward with this personalized medicine.
That's correct. There are potentially great payoffs from personalized medicine, but there are significant obstacles that we're finding. It's very difficult to tease out the effect of a particular genetic variant on response to a drug. And there is, the drug companies are sometimes reluctant to develop tests or encourage testing because it might limit the sales of their drugs. Doctors sometimes, particularly with drugs like tamoxifen that they've been prescribing for years or even decades, they sometimes say, I've been doing it successfully for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the test. Insurers
are... But the point is, it doesn't work for everyone, and there is a way to test to determine whether or not your body is one of those that would respond well to tamoxifen. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. But even there, there's, the obstacle to proving that that's the case.
What accounts for the variability, Andrew? I mean, is it a matter that genetics is so complex and that drugs are relatively simple molecules compared to DNA? Or are genes in some way actively trying to inhibit all kinds of foreign substances and that, pharmacology is a bit of a tricking process to get around switches that are blocking entrance to various substances that might help us?
Well, I think, everyone's body is different. In the case of tamoxifen, the gene that people are interested in is involved with breaking down tamoxifen, which by itself is not active, into the active substance that actually fights cancer, in this case mainly used to prevent a return of breast cancer after a woman has had her tumor removed by surgery. Some women's have a gene that produces a very active enzyme that turns tamoxifen into the active substance. Others have genes that produce inactive enzymes, so the tamoxifen does not get turned into the active substance, so they are getting no benefit. In other cases, your genetic variability might determine how the drug binds to its target in the body. In other cases, your genes determine how quickly your body gets rid of the drug.
Uh-huh.
If you get rid of it too quickly, you might not get any effect.
So it's a full range. It's a full range of genetic impacts. Well, how interested is the FDA in bringing genetic variables into the whole matter of determining whether a drug is effective at all or not?
Well, the FDA, I think, is very interested in this because, better targeted medicine would potentially have fewer side effects and be more effective.
And more cost-effective, but certainly not something that the pharmaceutical companies would necessarily like to see, because that would require them then, right, to do more kinds of research, which costs them more money.
Yes, it does cost them more money. And one big worry they had is that if their drug is only to be given to someone who has, you know, a particular genetic variant, that limits the sales of the drug. They'd rather sell it to everyone, even if it only works for some of the people. However, I should point out that is starting to change. The drug companies are starting to realize that in some cases they won't be able to get a drug approved, or they won't be able to get insurers to pay for the drug unless it's better targeted at people for whom the drug will work. And there's an example in the story of a cancer drug that was developed by Amgen, the biotechnology company, which had, you know, sort of modest effectiveness. The European regulator said it's not effective enough for us to approve.
Right.
Amgen went back, reanalyzed their data, and found that for people whose tumors had a certain mutation, the drug didn't work at all.
So these are big questions about disease, treating disease, and how drugs are going to do that, and certainly something we'll be looking towards in 2009. Andrew Pollack, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Andrew Pollack is a reporter for the New York Times. He has a front page story today on personalized medicine. Now we turn to Femi Okeh with headlines.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.